being up at a conference before he passed away, and he made the comment. He said, when he gets to heaven, he'll look at Jesus and say, I've seen him before. And I've seen him in people I knew, in people who have followed the Lord. And I hope that when people see you, they see Jesus in you. Very, very important that we do not get the idea that somehow we are totally disconnected to Jesus. Jesus said that he'll look at those who had need and were imprisoned and needed clothing, needed a drink. And he said, inasmuch as you did it to one of these, you have done it to me. So very important. The book of John chapter 13. This has been an incredible journey to get through these messages. I just cannot explain to you the conflicts and the trouble and the problems that have come my way and making it very difficult. It was very easy. It would have been very easy for me to say, oh, let's not do the stewardship emphasis. It's just too many things that are conflicting with it. But I just stayed with it, and I'm glad I did. We have been looking at stewardship in the morning, which is very important. And we have been dealing with our Wednesday night service regarding commitment. You know, commitment, God wants us to be committed. He wants us to present ourselves a living sacrifice, and that we would be truly committed to Him. And they overcame Him, Revelation 12 says. Overcame the devil because they loved not their... You remember what it says? Lives unto death. Very important. Now, when Sunday nights, I've been dealing with, just during the stewardship, the importance of our church and the importance of what is involved. We saw that the local church is a team, 1 Corinthians 12. We're just all working together. And yes, Christ is our head, and He is not just talking about the universal church as such, but it also applies to local churches. And that we are one, we are different, and we need each other. The Sunday after that, I dealt with the importance of teamwork. And we looked at the fact that in the Bible, it's important that teams work together. And of course, that's a good emphasis with sports and those kind of things. And there's a true sense in which the Scripture tells us in Ecclesiastes chapter 4 that two are better than one. And we said because it increases our spiritual accomplishment, a lot more gets done when everybody's not just doing their own thing, but we're working together. A team. Together, everyone accomplishes more. We saw that it creates spiritual encouragement because when everybody's working together, it's just a fun thing. I have seen that there's been times when our church, and I would have to say more times than not, when everyone was just kind of, hey, let's go. Let's get this done. And it's an encouragement. As opposed to everybody kind of just going their own way. We saw that it enhances spiritual temperature. And when people are hot for God, it increases our temperature for God. It provides spiritual protection. We have strength against Satan. Strength in times of trials. Because nobody wants to fight the world, the flesh, and the devil on their own. And it strengthens spiritual endurance. So we saw those things. Now last week, we kind of went through those principles of how to deal with finances. But tonight I want to pick up that one theme. This will be our last message on this. And this has to do with loving one another. Pastor Marcus called me the other day. I was driving. He said, "What are you preaching on Sunday?" I don't know if you heard my announcement in a message or something, because I think I mentioned about loving one another. And he said, "Well, that's what I was going to speak on at the Valentine banquet." I said, "Well, that's all right, brother. You're going to deal with love, you know, ooey gooey, mushy love stuff between husbands and wives. That's good. It's good to have that emphasis." But I wanted to talk about love from the standpoint of our church. Now, you're going to see, and I've really been going through this, and I've heard about the love one another verses in the New Testament. I'm going to look them up myself, and I looked them all up, and I categorized them, and hopefully I can keep my thoughts straight. And I think I see a sequence in this whole thing. Now, John 13, verse 34, Jesus says, "A new commandment I give unto you, that ye love one another. As I have loved you, that ye also love one another." Now, there are 12 verses that I saw in the New Testament that tell us just that. And we're to love one another. It's commanded of Christ, as we see. It's a new commandment. This is a commandment that you love one another, John 15, 12. These things I command you, that you love one another. Now, it's interesting when you think about love. How can you command love? Well, it's because it is a choice. And sometimes we think of it as being an emotion, which there is emotion in it. But sometimes you make the choice to love someone and then you get emotionally involved. Think about arranged marriages. You know, can you imagine living in a society like that? And Fiddler on the Roof. Anyone seen Fiddler on the Roof? And he said, "Do you love me?" She says, "I'm your wife, but do you love me?" And basically, it was an arranged marriage. My parents said, "You'd learn to love me." And it does show that you can learn to love someone you choose to love. Now, that's not my message tonight as far as that is concerned. But it is a command. It fulfills the law, Romans 13, 8. "Owe no man anything but love one another, for he that loveth another hath fulfilled the law." And this is why the two greatest commandments are love. Love God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. Love your neighbors yourself. The Ten Commandments, the first four commandments, have to do with God's love. Our responsibility to Him, and to love our neighbor, the last six commandments have to do with our relationship with others. It's taught by God. An interesting verse in 1 Thessalonians says, "But as touching brotherly love," Paul says to the Thessalonians, "you don't need that I write to you, for ye yourselves are taught of God to love one another." And I thought about that. That has to come from the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit of God says, you know, I need to love one another. And we are to do it with a pure heart. 1 Peter chapter 1 verse, 1 Peter chapter 1 verse 22, "Seeing ye have purified your souls unto unfeigned love." That's not hypocritical. Unfeigned love is non-hypocritical love. You know, you can put on a front, but if you don't really care about that person, it's going to show. And he says that that you are to love one another with a pure heart fervently. That means earnestly. Now, it confirms that you know God. 1 John 4, 7, let us love one another, for love is of God, and if everyone that loveth is born of God, and knoweth God. And 1 John 4:12, no man hath seen God at any time. If we love one another, God dwelleth in us, and his love is perfected in us. So there's 12 verses there. And it's interesting when we look at these one another verses, one another passages, it tells us to love one another. And my intent this evening is to go through those passages, some of those passages, and I came up with 12. Another 12-point outline. What do you do? There'd have been 18 verses, there'd been an 18th verse outline. But I found it interesting, there were 12 verses to say love one another and 12 other verses that really demonstrate what that looks like. So, this is kind of a practical message, but it's not like it's not doctrinal. Because this is what the text says. And so when we talk about, oh, you should love people, you know, sometimes we think that's a good suggestion. But God commands us to do this. So I hope none of us would look at this and say, well, that's just not my personality. No, you have a command to do this. Some do it in a different way than other people. So let's see what we can come up with in the next several minutes as we look at these things. Number one, I want you to go to the book of Hebrews, chapter 10. And I didn't put these in a chronological order in the New Testament, but I put these in a what I considered at least a logical order. Because when we love one another, Jesus said, you'll know they're Christians by the fact that we love one another. And I think particularly when we talk about loving the brethren. So we're talking about each other. So I could go through this room and name each one of you. And I could say this applies to you with that person over here and this person over here and that person over there. Number one, Hebrews 10:24. And you tell me what one another command is here. Let us consider one another to provoke unto love and good works. What comes before one another? So I find that interesting because in order to really love one another, it is important that you understand that you are to consider them. And to pay attention to them. And to understand that it means to behold. This is what the word consider means, to behold. To perceive, to discover, to observe, to understand. I'm always amazed, and I don't know if that's true in our case. Our church is small enough, it should not be the case. But I'll talk about somebody in our church with somebody else and say, who is that? Which tells me they haven't given much thought about that child or that adult or that woman or that man or that teenager. Now, God tells us to consider one another. Number two, the book of Romans. Let's go to there. Romans chapter 16. And again, I'm not going to take you to all of the verses. I'll quote some, so if you're trying to take notes, maybe you might want to write down some references I just quote. Romans chapter 16, verse 16, verse that maybe you're somewhat familiar. In verse 16, what word comes before one another? Salute. So someone comes into the door and you... Actually, it's the very same word that is in 1 Corinthians 16:20 that is interpreted or translated greet. So to greet one another, 1 Peter 5:14, greet one another. In every one of those verses, how does it say to greet them? Give them a big smackaroo on the lips. Now, you know, we kid about that, but I was over in New York, and my sister-in-law, I mean, that's what they did in their church. Oh, Jimmy, good to see you. Mwah! And I'm thinking, please, you know, I don't know you. Now, obviously, depending on the culture sometimes, you know, if you're a friend, you know, you kiss on both cheeks, and, you know, how do we do it? We shake hands, but yeah, and I've found over the years people start hugging each other more than they used to. I don't know if I've ever seen my dad hug another man. But, you know, we greet one another. We don't ignore them. We welcome them. That's what the word means. We wish them well. Now, this is a command. We receive them joyfully. And I find it interesting how, you know, we are told, don't ignore each other. That's what he's saying. I can get up here and say, don't ignore people. And he said, you're just preaching. But Paul said, do this. And it's fascinating. I was down at this conference, and I've been going to these for years. And the first night, while those who were spiritual stayed in the service, those who were not went shopping. And I won't tell you who that is. I'm kidding. They didn't need to come. The ladies didn't need to come to this. But there was a time of introduction. So I had the opportunity of introducing Pastor Nathan to the board members of the FBF. And there were different people that were introducing different people. And that was kind of interesting. And right after the service as such, I forget all that was involved in that, Pastor Nathan went up to this person next to me and said, now your name is, do you remember his name? Keaton, yeah. He said, how are you? And I'm standing right there between them and they're just creating a conversation going on and everything. And I'm looking, yeah, okay, yeah, what's your name? And I was impressed how Pastor Nathan kept a conversation going. You know what and this was important because this was a chaplain that Pastor Willis had about 12 of them, I think he said there. And they were in a very interesting situation. They were there doing some chaplaincy training and so forth. I forget all that they were doing. But you know what he did? He was greeting them. You know, and I didn't remember his name. He was introduced, and I still can't remember his name. And, you know, but it was one of those situations where you just go, hi, my name is, what is your name? I think as soon as I can get around to it and we can get away with it, let's do the handshake time again. Now that can become mechanical. But we don't want people to think we're spreading all kinds of germs. And people are very concerned about that. But there is a sense in which the Bible tells us to greet one another. It's fun when you go to church. Hey, how are you doing today? Everything go good this week? Or are you one of those, well, I'm going to go to my own separate little room and I'm going to do some stuff. Greet one another. Number three. Romans 15:7. Look there. Romans chapter 15, verse 7. What does that one another say? receive one another. Huh. So the scripture here is telling us that we should receive one another. And that's an interesting word because it means to take to yourself. Make them your companion. And it's to, one understanding of that is to receive one into your home. Now in Acts 18:26, for instance, there was Aquila and Priscilla. Remember, they heard a great preacher. Anybody know his name? Apollos. And the scripture says that they took him, and more than likely they brought him to his home, their home, and taught them a little bit more accurately, because he had been a good preacher, but he was also following John the Baptist, but he didn't know a whole lot about the Holy Spirit. And that's an interesting thing, to receive someone into your home. One of the things you are required to have if you're a pastor is to be given to hospitality. Now, I wish we could do more. And there's sometimes we should have done more. But there is a sense in which, don't just say, hey, how are you doing? And like in the handshake chorus thing, you know what I'm saying? Everybody, hi, how are you? Hi, are you? And then you ignore them the rest of the time. What good is it? Well, it's some good. It's better to just say hi than to not say hi. But, to take one into yourself and say, hey, how's it going? Where are you from? How old are you? And don't ask that, especially if it's a lady. How much do you weigh? You don't need to do that. There's a difference between open and closed-in questions. You know what I'm saying? I can ask questions to you that the only answer is yes or no. And some people will give you no more information than that. Are you from here? Yep. You in the army? Yes. So those are closed-in questions. But to ask the question, well, where are you from? Friends, we had a young lady here. I don't know how young she was, but she was here this morning. Anybody got her name? Damn, I introduced her to all kinds of people. And so Pam, I was just asking her questions and talking to her, found out. Anybody know where she's raised? Yeah, Westmoreland. Westmoreland's an interesting town. Just a little town north of Wamego. And, I just started chatting with her and so forth. And, you want to bring them into your... Can I say this a little bit? Without making yourself in a situation that's dangerous. But sometimes you got to be a little vulnerable and open up to people and give them information about you. Guess what that does? That now creates within them a sense of confidence in you. And then, maybe at some point you say, let me ask you something. If you were to die, would you go to heaven? Well, if you have gained some confidence toward you, that may not seem such a strained situation. Now, I wouldn't go up to someone and say, hi, what's your name? Pam, do you know for sure you're going to heaven? I wouldn't do that. Receive them. And you're going to put yourself in a very vulnerable position when you are going to open up to people like that, because sometimes they can walk away and say, what a jerk. Or, it's none of his business. So we got to be careful and we want to be wise. So, consider one another, and of course, ourselves, hey, open up your house, have a ladies' fellowship. What a great way to be a blessing to others. Number four, Number four. Now, you're right here in Romans 15:7. Let's see, where do I want to go? So I had two outlines here, I'm sorry. So I was trying to put all this together, and I've got to find this verse. And what number did I say it was? Four. All right. Oh, I don't have it there either. Oh, I do. Romans chapter 12, verse 10, that's why. Romans chapter 12, verse 10, sorry. Kind of ran a little out of time getting all these together. Romans chapter 12, verse 10. It tells us, be kindly affection one to another with brotherly love, and notice these words, in honor, preferring one another. Now we'll talk about the other later, but here it tells us that we should prefer one another. Now that word prefer means to go before, to show the way. It means to show deference, to be humble to the sense of submitting to them. In other words, as it says in Philippians, you think they're more important than you are. And to say, okay, now here's somebody in our church, I'm going to treat them like they're king, and I'm not. They're more important than I am. And basically, he says that this is something that you do in honor, preferring one another. Number five. Go back to the book of Hebrews. I did have these in a more practical, chronological way, but I wanted to put them in logical order. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 25. Because we saw in verse 24 to consider one another. But then it says in verse 25, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together. So we want to be in church together. It's hard to do that when you're Zooming, right? Now, if you need to and you have to, that's better than not being there at all. But it says here that we should be exhorting one another. Now that word exhorting, have I given any footnotes as to what that means? It's the word, comes from the word, we get the word paraclete. And this whole idea of coming alongside of. Jesus said, I will send another paraclete. I will send another comforter. So, we're told in Hebrews 3:13 to paraclete one another. 1 Thessalonians 4:18, comfort one another. 1 Thessalonians 5:11, comfort yourselves together. So, in other words, you come up alongside of them. And you are basically, you preferred them, you received them, you've opened up, and you come alongside of them. And it's an interesting word, actually. You'll find that that word means to advise sometimes, to strengthen. Sometimes it's translated encouragement. So, you know, I don't just invite them to my house and make them feel like dirt. I invite them to my house so that I can just come alongside of them and say, is there anything I can do to be a help to you? I mentioned in Sunday school this morning that Pastor Gerald Martin's wife died last Tuesday night. And so my wife and I are going to go down to the funeral tomorrow. I called Brother Martin's on yesterday. I called him and I said, Brother, I said, I am so sorry. I said, how are you doing? He said, I don't know. I've never gone through anything like this in my life. And I said to him, I said, well, my wife and I will be there Monday at the funeral. Why? Because we want to be there to stand by him. And, you know, sometimes somebody just needs a friend. They just need somebody that is trying to encourage them. You know, and this is why you don't want to be hypocritical. You want to be genuine. You want to truly care. You say, well, I don't know if I really care. Well, you need to get right with God because you need to care. And to care about that person, you are coming alongside of them. So you consider one another, you greet one another, you receive one another, you prefer one another, you comfort one another. Now here's an interesting one. Go over to the book of Galatians chapter 5. Galatians chapter 5. Now in Galatians chapter 5 and verse 13, it says, for brethren, ye have been called unto liberty, only use not your liberty for the occasion to the flesh, but by love. And you see, this is all conditioned by real love. By love, do what one another? Serve one another. Now, there's two words that we could talk about regarding service. One is diakonos, which is the word we get the word deacon. Another is the word doulos, which we get the word slave. And the word here is doulos. And the idea there is that you will be their slave. I am here to serve you. I'm not here to make me feel better, because if I do it to make me feel better, because I'm too shy and I don't want to talk to people, or I don't feel comfortable going to somebody else, that's all about me. But when it's all about somebody else, we ought to be, in a true sense, how can we serve you? He that would be great among you. Who did Jesus say would be the greatest? He that would be servant of all. And we need the diakonos as well as the doulos. But there is a sense in which we are to truly and genuinely serve one another. 1 Thessalonians 5:11, we see the seventh one. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 in verse 11. And it tells us, wherefore, comfort yourselves together, and in what? Edify one another. So my purpose now, according to this verse, is I should be edifying you. And I might say, how are things going? What's going on in your life? But what I want to know is, how can I make you a better person? So I don't want people coming into our church becoming worse than when they started coming. I want them to grow in their faith. The word edify comes from the word edifice, which is to build. We want to build up people. And if I can walk away from you with you becoming a better person, I have accomplished a great deal. And that's why my conversation ought not be about me, 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 me. Look what I did. Oh, you have that problem? Boy, you should have seen my problem. That should not be the case. And basically, we want to talk about what most people are interested in, themselves. And you'll find out a lot about a person that way. The book of Ephesians, chapter 4. Ephesians chapter 4. In verse 32 tells us to be kind one to another. To be kind one to another. So we need to be gracious. We need to be kind. You know, well, I'm going to fix you, buddy. You need some building up to do. Grow up! You know, that's not very kind, is it? So what we want to do is we want to treat people like people. And to be kind is to be gentle. Make it a point to treat people like they're people. Question. You ever mess up? We've all messed up. And sometimes in order to even help somebody, you know, let me tell you something that would really get people mad at you. Try to tell them how to raise their children. You better earn some respect from them before you start telling them. So, you know, be careful. Be nice to people. People are nice. Now, I don't think we have this problem now, but sometimes it's very frustrating. Do you ever have somebody, they won't even look you in the eye? You ever have anybody do that? Or you're talking to them and you're really pouring your heart out to them and they're looking the other place. Bob Jones III was at the conference this last week. Very interesting situation there. But one thing I watch Bob Jones III, Bob Jones, we've had Bob Jones here. And the guy, when somebody's talking to him, he's looking them in the eye. And he doesn't let somebody else distract him. He's focused on them. And that's very interesting when somebody is doing that. He's gracious to you. You know, you're not looking at you're not with your cell phone. Oh, yeah. You don't do that, other people do. Be very, very careful that you treat people with respect. So be kind one to another. Hold your hand here because we're going to come back to it. But I want you to go to the book of Romans chapter 15. Now here is a very fascinating verse. Romans chapter 15 and verse 14. Romans 15 verse 14. I want you to see this because this gives us our ninth characteristic of loving one another. If you'll notice there in verse 4, and I myself also am persuaded of you, my brethren, that ye also are full of goodness, filled with all knowledge, able to do what to one another? Admonish one another. Now that's interesting because the word admonish there, and I'm going to give you a word that probably means nothing to you, but I'm doing this for a reason. It's neutheto. Neutheto. And it's an interesting word. And of course it means here to admonish. It also means to warn. As a matter of fact, it's the very word that Jay Adams picked up to all his counseling series. It's called neuthetic counseling. And it's interesting because his point is you don't need a professional. Paul says you're able to do this. Now some things are a little harder than others, obviously. So you might say, Pastor, this situation's, what do I do? And if I don't know what to do, I'll call some of my pastor friends. And if I don't know anybody, I just ask Pastor Nathan. He has the answer. No, but in other words, we are able to warn people and help people. Now, remember, we got to be kind. We want to earn some trust. And it's interesting because the passage there says you're able to admonish one another. So, if you know your Bible, be a blessing to people. If you see them going into danger and they're playing too much on their video games or they're playing too much on watching sports or they're involved in some kind of bad media choices, you know, you say, I don't know all I need to know, but I know what they're doing is not right. Brother, can I talk to you? Can I be a help to you? So, Colossians 3:16 puts it this way. This is interesting. It uses the same word. It says, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another. And you know what it then says? It says in psalms, hymns, spiritual songs. You know, the way you sing in church has an impact. You know, I watch some people, I don't even know if their mouth's moving. I watch other people, man, they're just singing out. They may not have the greatest voice, but they're blessed by this. I was down in Florida a few years ago, and my brother's funeral, and my brother Ron and I think he was with me, we went to church, and they had this song, and this one person, I think it was a lady, she could not hit a note. But man, did she sing out. And I thought, man, if you're not going to be able to sing, that's the way to do it. Just joy in her heart. Smile on her face. I think I've told you about Pastor Mike Harding when he was in his church up in Chicago. He said there was a guy in the church who would not sing. And he said he wondered, why isn't that guy singing? Then he found out he was in the mob. No wonder he wasn't singing. You know, when a person's heart's right, man, sing. And you know what you do? You admonish one another when you do that, because these are some great songs. Let me keep going. We're told, if you go over to Ephesians chapter 4, Ephesians chapter 4, in verse 2. And it tells us here that we see in this verse, with all lowliness and meekness, with long suffering, and notice these words, forbearing one another in love. Now, if you were to do a word search, what does forbearing mean? And you'll find, in essence, it's tolerating other people's weaknesses while not ceasing to love them. Now, just think about this a minute. Not everybody's arrived like you and me. And they may not smile like we'd want to, or they may not shake hands like we'd want to, or they may not act like we want them to. Or they may have a snarl on their face, which is opposite of what we'd want to do. And you just kind of, you learn to tolerate it to a point. You know, everybody has not arrived. So we want to forbear one with another. Colossians 3:13 says the same thing, forbearing one another. Now, you're in chapter 4 of Ephesians. Look at verse 32 again, because I skipped around because I was dealing with this from a logical standpoint. Not only are we to be, verse 32 of Ephesians 4, kind one to another, but we're also to do what one to another? Forgiving one another. Have you ever been hurt by another Christian? And sometimes it's very hard to be sweet when someone's so sour. And he talks about in this passage about corrupt communication, verse 29, and sour thoughts and verse 31, bitterness and wrath and anger. Have you ever had someone just blow up at you? I remember Tony Miller was here, and he preached. I saw Mark Minnick down there, by the way, and he told me, he said, the message that Tony Miller preached here, I'm going to have him speak at the national meeting. And Tony Miller, he was talking to the preachers, and he said, you know, I had a guy come up to me and say, I hate you, and I will always hate you. He said, boy, that really encouraged my day. You know, sometimes people do things and they say things, and yet we're not to be bitter and hold that in. You say, well, why should I forgive them? Because in verse 32, Christ hath forgiven you. God, through Christ, has forgiven you. And if you remember in the book of Matthew, I think it's in chapter 18, if I'm remembering right, about the story about the man who owed a lot to the ruler, and he forgave him, but then he had somebody who owed him far less money, and he would not forgive them. You know, Christ has forgiven us. Our sins are so great. And if somebody has done me wrong, it's so minuscule compared to what I have done to God. Now, forgiveness, that's an entire subject that it's important to get into, because even God doesn't forgive somebody who won't repent. When Jesus was on the cross and said, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? And then he said, Father, forgive them. He wasn't causing everybody to be justified. But what Jesus was doing is he had a heart that would have been ready to forgive if somebody would come to him. And sometimes when people have done you wrong, don't be bitter. Let yourself always be ready to forgive if they would ask for forgiveness. That was number 11. Am I right? I told you 12, so I got one more. The book of Romans, chapter 12, verse 10. We are in Romans this morning. And I left this for last because I think there's a certain amount of application that I think we need to understand here. Romans chapter 12, verse 10, be kindly, what? Affectioned one to another. Now we saw to love one another. That's agape love. That's a sacrificial love that I'm going to love you because I'm going to choose to love you. But this word is the word that comes from the word phileo. And in other words, there are some people that are just easy to like. You know what I'm saying? I mean, there's some people, you know, I get around Brother Joe Willis. Man, we just hit it just like that. We just like each other. I mean, if there was 10,000 people and I knew he was in the crowd, I'd probably be looking for Joe Willis. You see, to be kindly affectioned one to another, you know, I think it's important that we understand that there are some people that are going to be more, can I say it this way, likable than other people. That doesn't make everybody else a bad person, but this person you just kind of click with. And I think it's important that as Christians, we learn to have a good friend. Somebody that really we can get along with. Now, be careful there. Be careful that you don't just come to church and find your friend and ignore everybody else. There's other times you can get together with your friend. It can be something that would prevent you from reaching out to others because of shyness, right? I mean, I can sit and talk to Chuck all night. I like Chuck. I don't like Rusty, but I like Chuck. No, I'm teasing. I'm just keeping you awake. Just keeping you awake. I like Rusty too. But you know, I like Chuck, you know, and I could just sit and talk to him. But you know what? Sometimes there's other people who are lonely. Sometimes there's other people who are needing somebody else to just show attention. You say, well, they ought to get around, show attention. Yeah, I know. But they don't always do it. So, in honor, preferring one another, but that verse also says, be kindly affectioned in one another with brotherly love. And so, I will say this, and I'll be done. I will say that it is a joy to be your pastor. I sincerely mean that. That's not always been the case. Sometimes I'm wondering, where are things going here? But, you know, I think as a rule, we pretty much get along. We can all do better. I know I can do better. And it's important that we understand that God does care about how we view each other. And if somebody is a problem, they need to be dealt with. And if somebody is lonely, they need to be helped. But let's do everything we can by God's grace to love one another. It's a choice. And if we make that choice, it can be a lot of fun to go to church. You ever gone to a church where everyone's divided? I've been in church splits. You could cut the air with the knife. That's not fun. You know, if I want to fight, I'll go out to the world. I'm fighting the world, the flesh, and the devil. I don't want to have it at church. And it's kind of like an oasis when you come into church and you say, man, I'm with my people. This is my crowd. And you know what? You won't have a problem getting others who are lonely and needing help into a church like that. But if everybody's just kind of doing their own thing, their own ways, their own, you know, people will say, well, that's not a very friendly church. Now, I found this. I found that a person who finds one friend in church makes that a friendly church to some people. So let's make sure that when somebody comes here, it's the end of their search for a friendly church. You ever hear that? I would never want to put that on my advertisement. Because as soon as you do that, somebody could come and think, man, they're unfriendly. I'd rather just show it. I do love you all, and I thank you for your service. You know, we're all different, and we all can do better. We all could do worse. But by God's grace, let's keep on keeping on. Our Lord, we are truly amazed at the way that you bring God's people together. And how, Lord, that in your word, you give us these admonitions. Lord, help us, truly help us, as we seek to serve you. Help us, Lord, to truly love one another, consider one another, greet one another, receive one another, prefer one another, comfort one another, serve one another, edify one another, be kind to one another, admonish one another, forbear one another, forgive one another, and Lord, help us develop a sense of brotherly love. Be kindly affection one to another. Now, Lord, bless our opportunity to be here. Give us your grace. Bring us back Wednesday night. And may you get the honor and the glory. With our head bowed and our eyes closed, let's stand our feet as the pianist plays. And maybe God is dealing with your heart and you would just need to just deal with the Lord. Maybe it could have nothing to do with what I preached on, but maybe God is speaking to you in some ways.